It's time once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this wonderful Wednesday. It's kind of like Groundhog Day right now, Neil.
Yes, it is.
It just seemed like every day you wake up and it's 60 degrees and it's blowing and it's gray and it looks like yesterday and it looks like the day before yesterday and I'm tired of it.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. Well, then so, I guess you should maybe go to take a few days off and go to Myrtle Beach.
Been there and done that, and it was very good. But
it wasn't as much fun as being here.
Oh, of course not.
Weather was better, but...
But we have the unofficial first day of spring coming up.
Yes, we do.
Spring always begins in Fort Recovery with the car show.
Yep.
And that's coming up, and we've got three representatives that are going to talk about that tonight. And I'm going to screw this up. We have John Judy, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep.
And John, okay, so the three of you guys represent what club?
The Fort Street Car Classics.
Fort Street Car Classics.
Yes, sir.
And John's been part of that club for how long?
Yeah, forever.
Unofficially since he was born.
Yeah. Yes. That's with my true. Dad for a long time. I don't know. I've probably been president for, 5 years? Maybe long? I don't know. Somewhere in there. Yep.
So John is the president. Yep. Vern, you're one of the co-founders of the club. Is that correct?
Sure am.
And what year was that?
Approximately. We're good with approximations here. Unless you're going to have a 50th anniversary or something.
I think so, yeah.
I think it was around 1978.
1978. So we're looking at 44, 45 years.
Yep.
Right? Probably.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That is really awesome.
It really is.
Those cars are brand new then.
They still are.
So, yeah. Yes, they are. Some of them definitely are.
And we've got Randy Hoying.
That's correct.
Hello, Randy. So you're the non-Fort Recovery guy here.
That's correct.
I'm the outsider.
Yep. Where are you from?
St. Henry.
And have you been involved in it almost from the get-go?
No, I didn't join until probably mid-90s, something like that.
But still, when you look at it, that's 25 years ago.
Yeah, not as long as John, but yeah, yeah. I've been for a little while.
So I was born in 85, so.
Yeah. Close. So I tell you what, it's always, and I was kind of kidding, but in Fort Recovery, one of our first official outdoor events every year is a streetcar classic show that you guys put on like first or second weekend in May. So how long has this event been happening?
Well, you started with a car show, right? Yeah. Back right. During the Jubilee decades ago.
Right. Yeah. We used to be across the river out in Ambassador Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I barely remember those. So...
That was probably about 10 or 12 years worth before we started the cruising.
Yep. And then it became a cruise in. So why the change from car show to cruise in to...
And what's the difference?
Okay. So now it's a cruise. Is there a difference between a show and a cruise in?
Yeah, cruising only lasts a couple hours. The show always ended up being half a day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then they used to do a little bit more particular judging with the car shows. It's kind of the way it was always explained to me. They'd have some, I don't know if they were club members or other people would come in and kind of go through and do a points system.
We had participation judging, didn't we?
We had participation judging.
Okay.
But it was based upon, quality of the car, not necessarily something that person particularly liked, but it was the best of the shows.
Gotcha.
And they got trophies.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about what we can expect on Friday, May 6th, from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock up at the Brick Street. So we'll be back to talk about that right after this.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
Do you want to work somewhere that is more than a workplace? Look no further than Cooper Farms, where their competitive pay and superb workforce will make you feel like a part of the family from day one. Cooper Farms has locations in Van Wert, Paulding, and Mercer counties, and positions are open for all work styles. Whether you need a full-time job with competitive pay and excellent benefits, or a flexible part-time position that allows you to set your own hours, Cooper Farms is the place for you to pursue your next career. Go to CooperFarmsJobs.com to join us today and find a new job. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. It has been said time and time again, you get what you pay for. In the case of Simplicity Lawn and Garden Tractors, you get even more. Exclusive features like free-floating mower decks for a perfectly manicured cut, full-width rollers for a beautifully striped lawn, suspension comfort system for a smooth ride, and automatic control traction for the best traction system in industry. So do you want to settle for getting what you pay for or getting more? Visit K&L Tractor Sales to see the exclusive features of a Simplicity.
Here are the baseball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Indians baseball team will travel to New Bremen to take on the Cardinals in an MAC matchup. On Saturday, they'll host the Rushi Raiders in a recently scheduled single game starting at noon. Get out to all the games you can this season, but if you just can't get there in person, just remember that we'll bring you all the games live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
You ran out of fingers, Neil.
Yep, that means you're on.
We're back. So we're here with members of the Fort Streetcar Classics.
Yep.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Got it.
This Friday, you've got your crews in.
Yep.
So, how many cars can we expect?
We'd like to see a couple hundred.
We've come close to that several times, haven't we?
Yeah. on our good days, we'll get right around 200. We'll get real close to that number.
On our last fall, they had them all the way down to Hastings, and then in both lots that he had down there, all the way up the street. Boundary Street.
Yeah, we've used the IJA's parking lot before.
Yeah.
We'd love to see it full.
Yeah.
I don't know if the weather's going to cooperate as well. But I still think we'll get a decent turnout. We usually get the stubborn old guys want to come up and show off their cars, and we love those guys. So.
Yeah. Yep.
So when you talk about having 150 to 200 cars. Where in the hell do these guys come from?
Everywhere, I think.
Out of the woodwork.
Yeah. I mean, there's quite a few local guys. Salina's got a pretty big group of guys that always come over, and we appreciate to see their stuff. Maria Stein's got, they do a lot of the Chrysler and the Mopar cars, so they'll come over. We get some St. Henry folks. And then we'll get some other ones. I know you've gotten calls, Laverne, from guys on Cincinnati, all kinds of. A couple hours. I mean, you'd be shocked. Fort Wayne.
Yeah. The Portland Arch Bridge Cruisers Portland usually come over if there isn't something else where they need to.
Yeah, pretty good crew. They're good. They'll do a show in Portland on Saturdays when we do, in the fall. They'll usually have a show that day, and then they'll come over in the evening, too. The evening. So we pull them from all over, and we're not picky. If you got it, bring it out,
and
we'll take a look at it. So.
So when you talk about we're not picky, what qualifies for something that you would show at a cruise-in? I mean, are there certain criteria that a car has to meet?
I wouldn't say we're real picky on ours. I mean, some shows have certain years and different things that they look at. Mm-hmm. But in our case, I mean, if you feel it's something you want to put the polish on and drive in, then bring it on up. Yeah. Pay your $10.
So, last year, one of the shows, there was like a brand new car.
Yeah.
What was that one? Was that a Tesla?
There was a Tesla here a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And we'll get quite a few. Like the new Dodges, they make a lot of the Challengers, yeah, and mm-hmm, the Chargers. We'll get some of those. We'll get the new Corvettes, Camaros. And
yeah, if you're proud of your car, bring it up.
Yeah, yeah. You might want to
vacuum out the
yeah, pick up the French fries and knock the dust off, and you're good to go as far as I'm concerned.
Clean the bird poop off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that's always drawn me to the local scene and cars in general, is everyone's got different taste, and I think that different perspective is really nice, especially in a world today where everything's two-sided or black and white, and it's like you go into a car show and it doesn't really matter as much. You know, you can kind of enjoy and appreciate the effort that people have put in, so it makes it neat.
Yeah, from a brand new whatever it might be to a really well-preserved muscle car,
yeah,
to a rat rod,
yep,
or somebody with a car they're working on that's going to be beautiful that's only halfway done. You see them all, and yep, it's just awesome.
Yep.
So you talked about, like, so there's an entry fee for, yes, you bringing your car up, and you said that's $10 a car?
Yeah, $10, yeah. Yep.
So are there other ways? I mean, because I know that you award trophies and things, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is there other ways that you make money off of this?
We'll do 50-50.
Okay.
That'll help raise some money. But most of our money now, we used to do a food stand, but now the IGA, they've grilled out the last 3 or 4 cruise-ins for us.
Oh, that's good.
So we let them do that. Or we've had Wendell's Barbecue, brought their trailer up 1 year. That went over really well. And then, you know, our kind of our goal is to get people into the community, and we want to kind of shoo them into the Brick Street or,
sure,
North End and, you know, Ten Cupboard and go eat at those places, because those, yep, are our sponsors. They help pay for the awards,
yep,
and do those kinds of things for us. So it's kind of a way to get everybody back in town and show off. We show off the history. We get the museum opened up.
Yeah, you can go in there for free.
Yep.
So especially people in Fort Recovery, I'd say probably 75% have either never been in the museum or haven't been in there
in the last five or ten years
since they completely redid everything.
Yeah, so Friday
night,
absolutely from
6 to 9, worth doing that.
It'll be free. You can check, yeah, it out.
Yep.
So you'd mentioned when you talked about the group from, I think it was Marion. You said something about, like, they kind of specialize in the Chrysler.
These guys can talk to that more than me, but they generally are the Mopars or the Dodge group.
So is that the way a lot of groups do it, where they tend to you migrate to a certain type, and guys have that in common in the club?
Not necessarily. Yeah. I know there's several people from Marty Stein area that are into Chevys, like Toby Boys,
yeah,
they're big,
sure,
into that.
Yep.
And like Rolling 50s in Greenville, they were originally set up, you know, for 50s era cars.
Okay.
So it kind of varies from, you know, town to town or group to group.
Yep. So the Fort Classics,
mm-hmm,
what are most of your vehicles?
Well, we'll let Laverne go first. He's probably, yeah, the longest list.
Trucks. Drivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, things you can drive.
Yeah. We've got a pretty good mix in our group. And some of the guys have multiple vehicles. So you've got, like, what I would call the muscle cars. You've got the 60s, the 70s Chevelles and Camaros. Like, Randy's got a 55 Chevy, but he's also got a 36 Ford, and a 32 Ford, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and then like I've got an 85 Suburban, so I'm not quite as old as these guys. I haven't cut my teeth on a hot rod just yet, but we'll work on that. Or my brother's got a couple older, like a 1953 panel truck, the old Zehringer carryout truck.
Yeah.
Mom's got a mid-80s Corvette. She's got a 1948 Suburban as well, a hot rod that we've built. So it's a little bit of everything in our group. I think we kind of – and then, well, Tom's got a street rod, but he builds cars all the time, so it's not really fair. He's got all kinds of vehicles he gets to drive sometimes, so –
So he might build one and sell it, or is he fixing them for fixing them up for
he's
other people, or
doing certain? A little bit of both. He runs a shop down at his place now, so he's mostly building for customers.
Mm-hmm.
Built a couple pickup trucks for some local guys here, and he's working on a. Yeah, he did Laverne's truck right outside.
Oh, yep.
Oh, he did.
Changed the color.
Yeah, redid that one.
Yep. From hot pink to
it was purple.
Yep.
Yeah.
And one of the things I always found interesting about that truck, do you know who the original owner of that was?
J&M.
It was, yep, it was Mose Greasup, and they bought Mose Greasup's house and his truck. So he ran Mose out of town and moved in. Well, didn't exactly run him out of town, ran him out to Park Road on Teeters Hill. But that was, I think it was brown and tan. Is that what it was?
It's got a really good memory.
It was a good-looking truck even before Laverne got it. Customized
a
little bit.
It was a pink for a lot of years, though.
Yes, it was.
Purple.
31 years.
31 years, yeah.
So guys that own these cars, and you have to understand that my experience with cars is to pick up the phone, call Hastings, and say, hey, am I due for an oil change? And Harold will say about 6,000 miles ago, you know.
Sounds about right.
So my knowledge, my skill is not strong. Let's just put it that way. So how much time do you guys take? Because when you look at these cars that are up on the street, most of them are immaculate. Okay. So how much time does it take to get them in that shape and to keep them in that shape?
Well, so the truck that I have, I mean, it's 37 years old now, going to be 37 years old. And when I bought it, it was really clean already. So I made a few changes, and I spent, you know, a few weekends on it probably, if you know, here or there. And then over the course of the last 6 years, I've spent multiple times. So, you know, last year I put a new motor and transmission and everything in it. When I first got it, I redid a lot of the interior. But in between those times, like, it's a couple hours to wash and clean it so it stays pretty and it looks good when I get it out. You know, so it kind of depends. Sometimes things break and you got to figure it out, or you call your old friends that know a lot of things about cars. And so it varies a lot. I know, like, I think a lot of guys, especially, have been helping my brother Tom work in his shop, and it's like, I don't think people realize if you want to, you know, you see one in a field or you see it, you know, the barn finds that people talk about, and they want to take that car and get it to what it looked like when it rolled off the showroom floor. Yeah. What you might see out here on Friday, you know, those really nice cars, like, that amount of work is probably about 10 times more than what you think it actually would take to do that. Like, it's real easy on the TV shows. Oh, it only took them an hour on TV. Well, I spent an hour on Monday night, an hour and a half, just sanding the trunk deck of a 1940 Chevy to get it straight. Like, just going back and forth on that thing for an hour and a half just to get it nice and smooth and kind of help get ready for paint. So, I mean, it really depends. They're all different, but
sure,
it can be very time consuming. It can spend a lot of time. I mean, so Mom's 48 Suburban that these guys all helped us get back, Dad had it for, gosh, I don't remember exactly how many years. Mom usually tells me this, but 93 or 4, I think he bought it, almost 20 years. And then even from when Dad passed away, and we decided collectively, you know, as are my brothers and as a group, that, hey, let's get this car done. Let's pay some tribute to this man, to Jack, and and get it on the road for Carroll. Yeah, I mean, he had, I mean, we kind of put it together. He had a lot of parts lined up, but it still took us, I mean, now this is Weekend Warriors and groups. It still took us like 7 years.
Wow.
Of finding time in between our own lives to put it back together and get it on the road. So
now, did it also, did were all the parts there, or did you have to chase parts too?
It was the little stuff. So, you know, yeah. I always say the devil's in the details. So, like, he had done a lot of the body work, and he had, you know, the customized pieces were done, and the suspension was there. And, you know, we kind of put it all together, and we're like, okay, that wasn't so bad. But then we started to get into the interior and even this piece or that piece. And he'd bought it 15 years ago. Was it even good anymore? You know, like the air conditioner is one where mom's now complaining that the air conditioner doesn't work. Well, we put in what dad had bought.
Yeah.
But dad had probably bought it 20 years ago at this point. So it's not even, you know, now it's like we could have just bought the newer version and it would have been probably fine. But I was like, well, it's here. It's what it was built for. Let's put it in there. And, you know, so you kind of go through both sides of that. But it's the, I mean, it can take a lot of work. It's.
And probably a lot of money.
It can get expensive. Yes.
Especially if you figure your time is worth $5 an hour or more.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of money.
Yeah, it can add up really quick, I think, but I think it's, you know, it's like anything. People have passions all over.
Sure.
How many hours you might spend on a golf course.
Yeah.
You know, we'll spend it somewhere else. And for me, like, you know, growing up in this group of the people that I'm so fortunate to be around, like, all my kids, we load them up in my Suburban, and we'll go, you know, we go to Street Rod Nationals in Louisville every year. I think I talk about it every time I'm here, but, like, it's the middle of August, and I'm taking, like, kids in strollers out to walk around and look at 10,000 hot rods. It's probably the last thing they really want to do. But the group,
so far.
But the group that we go with make it so much fun for all of us. And, you know, the times after the car shows when we go out to eat to dinner, we're just hanging around the hotel and drinking some beers, you know, like, that part of it really kind of drives me from that sense. Just being
it's you know, being a part of something bigger than you,
right?
You know, and it to me it is interesting. You know, when you talk about guys who have a common hobby, and then when you have trouble with something, y'all get together to kind of work on it, and I think that's a cool piece of this whole thing.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I can still. I mean, it almost gets me emotional sometimes when I can think about the times, you know, after my dad had passed away, how hard that was for our family. But to see all of his lifelong friends, I mean, even when he, before he passed away shortly there, there was a few days where it was, you know, toward the end. And then there were people bringing parts over to the house to try to help us, because he had one truck that we thought was maybe kind of close that we could, let's get it on the road, you know, one last push. And people that we didn't hardly, I mean, we knew who they were and they were our friends, but they have been dad's friends for decades, right?
Yeah.
They were just showing up, bringing parts to help us, you know, let's try to put this together. Let's do these things. And like, and then we got into the 48 and we would have 10, 15 people in dad's shop working on dad's car, you know, like, and I think for me, especially, and even my brothers, I think it's more like now we call each other like, hey, let's go work on your car. Or, hey, let's go do this. Cause it's like, it was kind of an eye opener because life can happen so quick.
Well, you know, and that says, you know, that says a lot about your dad.
Yeah.
As far as the friends that he made and the fact that they thought enough of him that's where they were and that's where they wanted to be, you know? So that is pretty cool.
Yeah. And it says a lot about the guys that I think are in the club, and that carries throughout. I don't think you've ever really met a stranger at a car show. You can go to a car show hours away, and you'll probably, well, you're from Fort Recovery, so you're Mercer County. You run into someone you know, right? Like, that's everywhere.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, you know, you can walk up to somebody just looking at how they did something a little bit different than maybe how you did it on your car. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's a 45-minute conversation, and your wife's like, hey, we got to go because I got to go to the bathroom. You know, like.
But you learn a lot. You learn a lot. You make friends.
Right.
You know, you might learn a new technique on how to do something that some guy just got desperate and did something stupid, and it worked. You know, you just that might not make sense, but he got mad because he tried 14 ways, and the 15th way makes no sense, and it worked.
Yep. There's a big human factor in cars. I think that that really draw a lot of people in and keep them in.
Well, I tell you what, this is a good time to take a break. Yep. And we're going to come back, and Rocker is going to hit the lottery and wants to get started in classic cars. And you guys are going to help him get started. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Here at Hall Brothers, your local Case IH dealer, we want you to put the very best into your machine so you can get the very best out of your machine. Choose to use CNH Industrial Genuine Parts. Only CNH Industrial Genuine Parts are specifically engineered to fit and function perfectly with your Case IH equipment. They deliver the performance your business demands while giving you the durability your schedule depends on. So when you want to maximize your performance, go with the original, CNH Industrial Genuine Parts. To find CNH Industrial Genuine Parts, visit Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery.
Are you looking for great food fast? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them do the cooking. You want wings, but the kids want pizza? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Wings, pizza, great sandwiches, subs, fried goodies. Just call them, then drive through and pick it up. And call Miracle Lanes to reserve your lanes for your kid's birthday party or other get-together. Just call them at 375-4274 now and get your party booked. And be sure to stop out on Fridays at lunch for their great pizza and wing buffet with salad bar. Great food and lots of fun at Miracle Lanes. Stop out or call them at 375-4274. Fort Recovery Merchants Cruise In is coming up on Friday night, May 6th, presented by the Fort Streetcar Classics Car Club. Come check out a couple of hundred awesome cars on the brick street in downtown Fort Recovery from 6 to 9 p.m. It's one of the first events of spring, and it's always a great time. Lots of friends, lots of unique cars, and great food will be available with great cruising oldies playing all night long. Don't miss the annual Spring Cruise In on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery on Friday, May 6th from 6 to 9.
Just let me know when.
Nailed it.
Usually you only do that once a week. You've done it twice already.
We're back.
We're rubbing off on them over here.
And we're learning a lot about cars and car shows. And I want to talk to Randy, okay?
Okay.
So, what do you own, have, as far as classic cars?
Well, I got started back in about 1978. I bought a 1936 Ford Coupe from the previous owner of the IGA store. I think it was a Sutter?
John Sutter.
John Sutter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it had been in his family, I guess,
several generations. Yeah, it was pink. It was pink. Sharon's.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I didn't know where that went.
Yeah, it was black first, and then I think it was pink, and then white, and then gray. Mm-hmm. And that was over about 2 inches of mud.
Oh, my.
Certain parts of it.
Yeah, probably.
We had to replace quite a... Bondo. Bondo, yeah. Okay. But anyways,
yeah, that I knew what you meant. Probably other people. Because anybody that knows John or Sharon or his dad knows there wasn't any mud on that car. Yeah, if it was, it wasn't on there more than 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I got the car, and it sat in my garage for quite a while, and I was trying to decide if I wanted to keep it stock, which had the original Ford flathead motor in it. And if I kept it that way, I'd be able to drive it locally. You know, 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour at most. And I thought if I went street rod, I'd be able to drive it faster and farther, and I'd enjoy
it. Yeah, you could actually go somewhere besides just around here.
Yeah.
It'd take you a week to get to Indianapolis for that car show.
Yeah. So anyways, this is the early 90s, I guess. I ended up deciding to go street rod and found out the frame was bad. We had pulled the body off and the frame was shot. I found a frame about a mile from my house behind a chicken coop.
Wow.
Which was kind of, yeah, kind of
nice. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Anyways.
Usually you go to New York and buy one and come back and find out about that one a mile from your house.
Yeah, that's the way it usually works. But anyways, I ended up contacting a couple of members of the group, which I was just getting familiar with at that time, and they recommended a person who lived out by Sharpsburg that ran Jim's Rod Shop. And contacted him. We talked about it, and he came down, picked it up on trailer, towed it to his place, and he reworked the frame. He boxed it and plumbed it and everything, and we put a small block Chevy in it with a 4-speed, Ford 9-inch rear end under it. And we worked on it, I don't know. He had it there a couple of years trying to get back into a decent driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the morning of a Columbus National Street Rod Show. And we loaded up. We finished the car about 6 o'clock in the morning. And he told me to go ahead and go home, get a shower so I could get ready to leave at 7 o'clock. And he took it out for a test drive down the road about a mile and brought it back. And I came back, had some luggage and stuff, and loaded up in the car, and we took off for Columbus.
Wow.
About 3 miles down the road, carburetors started leaking like crazy. Three Stromberg carburetors, which are notorious for leaking, but it was leaking gas all over and just spraying all over the place, so we had to stop and tighten up a few gaskets and got back on the road. We got into Columbus, and I had a tire, front tire, which were old used swap meet tires, blow a belt on the side.
Oh, my.
And I'm driving down the interstate, bypass around Columbus, and just shimmying away. We're doing about 30 miles an hour, and everybody's honking at me and everything. But we ended up getting to the show, and we had a great time that weekend, and no other problems. But
so is that Jim Sutter?
Yes, that was Jim. Yep. Now, Bill is a super car. He did a great job.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. Yeah. Now, did he do most of that work? Did you do most of that work? And who went out and found pieces and parts of stuff that you needed? So was he doing it, or was everybody kind of in?
He was doing a lot of it, but we had a lot of club members that helped everybody, find parts and stuff. Everybody helped out.
Everybody know what you need, and they go.
Yeah, at that time, a lot of the members were strangers and stuff, but they still showed up to help. It's a great experience.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
So were you able to drive it back to Fort Recovery after the show?
Yeah, we drove it back home, and the next year we went to Oklahoma City with it.
Holy moly.
And we've been to Louisville several times. We've been out to California, where we had a little incident where a tire blew out and I rolled the car.
Ooh. See, that's probably not good.
No, it wasn't good, but the car was built strong enough so that we got it back home and we fixed it up. And then we went to Minneapolis with it. We've been to Knoxville. We've been to Florida with it. We went to Pigeon Forge this year, Springfield, Missouri. So the car's been all over the place.
That's cool.
It's been good. That's awesome.
So what other cars do you have?
Well, I've got a 55 Chevy, like they mentioned before. And I've got a little kit car. It's a 32 Ford and a Model A, which is kind of my little pet one because it's got an original flathead and 1946 and older, except for the transmission. So,
Wow.
So now, was that one you had to kind of rebuild too, or is kind of the same process?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That sounds like no fun at all to me.
It's a learning experience.
I love to look at them.
Doing it.
I love to see them. I love to drive them, but I am terrible at trying to do anything.
Well, that's the way I started out too. But you know, you just have friends and you just ask questions. Yep.
When I was a kid, my dad bought me a Model A Ford, so I wouldn't go kill myself. And one of the deals was, I had to take the engine apart and put it back together. I did all of that, and it worked. I have no idea what I did, but I made sure when I took something off, I knew where I put it and all of this stuff. It also helped that my next-door neighbor had been the head mechanic at Lee Wagner Ford Garage. And Ott von der Haar, I don't know if you remember him, Laverne. Yep, he was the head mechanic for Lee Wagner for years, and he kind of helped me some, but I didn't learn anything. I was supposed to, it was all for me to learn. What I learned was when you take something apart, make sure you know where it goes back. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have any, it took me a while, but didn't have any trouble, but I had no idea what I did. That is not for me. It just doesn't work.
So if Rocker hits the lotto, okay, and he has the money to spend, and he knows that guys who own cars that you take to car shows get all the chicks, okay? So he wants to get into this gig, okay? And so he comes to you and says, okay, so I've got some money to spend. I'm not good at fixing things up. What should I do?
Looking at me.
Get a Model A. Work on them, drive them.
Yeah.
It depends. I guess everyone's got a different taste. So, like, I like them long and low. So I like the really big, you know, Suburbans are kind of my thing. As long as they're close to the ground, I'm a big fan. So, you know, not everybody's into that. Like I said, we said before on the break there, I think an old Lincoln would look good or an old Cadillac. I could see Rocker kind of, you know, the front seats were like couches, right?
Yep.
They'd just be real laid back in there. Yep. We could set it down nice and low. You could put, you know, an older school style, like a steely wheel, so you got tire on it. So, you know, if he hits the curb because he doesn't drive, he won't mess up the rim or whatever. You know, a lot of the stuff now, I think, you know, you try to find something that's kind of in the middle, right? Like, there are some of the guys where, you know, they shy away from the newer motors because they have a lot more electronics and they've got the computer.
Yeah, you can't do it yourself so much.
So, yeah, there's some fear there. And then for me, who, you know, by trade is an IT person, I look at both of them. I don't understand what either one of us does. So, you know, I opt for the computer because to my mind it's more efficient. But if it breaks, I'm up a creek, I guess, too. So, you know, but I think the stuff they've built today, the newer motors are really reliable. So, you know, if you're not really into fixing it, but you want to get in and go, I feel like that's been kind of the what you see a lot of them going towards. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you can build a good 350 and not have any problems either, but like my Suburban was carbureted, so it wasn't electronic. I actually put the newer fuel injection system on it just to simplify how that all works. I told my wife it was for gas mileage, so.
And it is. I'm sure it's.
But it responds a lot nicer. It's a lot easier to start. I mean, I didn't really have a lot of problems before either. It just kind of one of those upgrades that as a car guy you feel like you need to do, but you know, like a new 9-iron if you're going golfing, and it's got to help, right?
Yeah.
Well,
if you paid,
I haven't found it yet.
I haven't found the right one.
I've spent
keep trying.
I've spent a shitload on clubs, and it still hasn't helped. So you've talked about like stock and custom,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So explain that a little bit more as far as what's the difference.
Well, you
know how to do it.
He just volunteered for custom.
Yeah.
But you know, I like what the originals looked like because that's what I saw driving up down the street. Sure. Sometimes they put some fancy wheels on them, but mostly back when I would sit on my front steps and watch them race down 49, mm-hmm. It was just regular stock cars with a little bit of something. They all looked like cars you could just go buy in a showroom.
Are you thinking Willie Wurkamp?
Yes.
That wasn't stock.
But it looked stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
I mean,
it looked stock. Yeah, his Nova was something else, and there was, you'd just sit there and watch them race. Not, they weren't racing each other. It'd be one at a time, go to the blinker light by the monument and fly south on 49 as fast as they could go.
Yeah. So stock is basically the way that it comes off the assembly line.
Yeah.
Custom is when that's not quite enough for you and you want to gear it up a bit, correct?
Yeah.
And that's looks and engine wise.
Yeah, there are definitely you know, I don't know, levels of custom, I guess you would say. Yeah. I mean, so like, you know, my Suburban, outside of wheels and lowered suspension and on some engine work, maybe, I guess now, but it's mostly stock. I mean, I put some new parts on the inside so it looks nice, but it's, I mean, it's more or less a stock truck, really. In my opinion, the paint's the factory colors that it was painted in, and, you know, so, but I don't think a lot of people would look at it coming down the street with 22-inch wheels and, you know, being 6 inches off the ground. They're not going to say, oh, well, that's stock, and they would. I would feel like that's an accurate statement because it's not, but it's not like, you know, we look at Laverne's got a 39 coupe. It's a chopped on that nose. So, well, we can go to Mom's 48 Suburban. I mean, the roof was literally cut, and they took 3.5 inches out and brought it down. And then we know we got rid of all the door handles. We got rid of all the body moldings. We got rid of all of these. You know, the taillights are custom fit. The headlights are custom. The turn signals.
Bumpers, too.
Bumpers are all sucked in nice and tight and smooth. So, I mean, so, like, now that's custom, but, you know, it. So there's always a varying degree of how far you want to go. There are some guys that will just won't stop. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing can be left alone. And then.
Yeah, and like Laverne was talking, Willie Wertkamp's car. You know, he had the back raised a little bit, but for the most part, it looked just like it came off the showroom floor. But it would go a million miles an hour in a half a second. It was just. It was crazy.
So I tell you what, it sounds like, from a custom standpoint, that you know, some guys will take their cars and constantly tweak them and upgrade them to a certain extent.
And I think that's part of the car man's disease. You're never really done.
Yeah.
You know, it's if it's
you have it perfect, and then you see something on a different car that you go, "Yep, I think I'd like to have that." Yeah. Here's another 3 months of work.
Or if it's finished, it's for sale, right?
Yeah.
You're not working on it. You don't sell it and buy it.
And you're not working on it. It takes a challenge out of it. I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and I want to talk to Laverne about his history with cars. You know, so I'm guessing that you graduated in, like, early 1970s? Like, around 1970? 1969, and I remember you always being a car guy, and I just like talk about like that progression from your high school days. So now we're 53 years later, and you have seen, owned, worked on a whole bunch of stuff. And I just think that would be interesting to talk more about that. So we'll be back right after this.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4800.
Do you have a graduation party coming up? Wayne Street Market has everything you need to put together a great party. Call ahead for their great roasted chicken and their delicious beef, barbecue pork, or shredded chicken. Get a few pounds or a roaster full. Just let them know 48 hours ahead of time. And don't forget to call ahead to order their party trays, fruit, vegetables, sandwiches, cookies, and of course their famous meat and cheese trays. And while you're there, don't forget to grab the soft drinks, beer, wine, and all the snacks. Get everything you'll need for your graduation party at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more.
Wow.
Are you interested in reserving a campsite for the 2022 Win on the Wall Bash to be held August 26th and 27th in Fort Recovery? Campsites for this year will go for sale online April 30th. Non-electric sites will cost $40 for the weekend, and electric sites will cost $150. There are a limited number of campsites available, and they will sell exclusively on our website, wowraffle.com. So be sure to get yours reserved beginning April 30th. And then we'll see you in August for the 4th annual Win on the Wall Bash.
We're back. Insight. Talking to the Fort Classic Streetcar Club.
It's a mouthful.
Holy cow. You can just call you guys have got to shorten that. Yeah.
Just read the flyer there.
There you go. And they have their annual cruise in coming up Friday night from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock up on the Brick Street. And we've been talking about cars and all aspects of it. And Laverne, you've been involved in cars probably before you even had a license, I'm guessing.
14 years old.
14 years old. And you'd said during the break that before you left to go to the service, you'd own 21 cars.
Correct.
So, how? Okay, so I'm assuming that you went to the service shortly after high school?
Yeah, 1970.
Yeah.
71.
Yeah. So how did you own that many cars?
Well, back then it was cheap. We weren't making a whole lot of money, but I was living in Indiana. We'd buy from Indiana, and all my cousins lived in Ohio, so I'd bring them over this way. And back then, $100, $150, $200 was a big profit, and I was going through them pretty good.
Yeah.
And right before I left for the service or got drafted, Indiana State sent me a notice that I had to get dealer's license.
Really? Because you had sold that many cars?
Correct.
No kidding. So are these cars that you would fix up?
I'd love to have most all of them back.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, did you have to fix them up to sell them, or you just...
No. Most of them was all muscle cars. Mm-hmm. Probably 90% of them were.
Yeah.
So are you getting them from guys that lost their license? And
No, I got most of them from dealers.
Oh, that's pretty good. You could come over here and sell them and make a little money. That's not too bad.
It was a good ordeal.
Yeah, beers were a quarter, and, you know, that's not too bad.
Quarter, you paid off a lot for yours.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I do remember... I wasn't old enough to drink then, but I remember somebody selling 15-cent drafts at either Toby's or Minor Dings. Mm-hmm. Pretty good deal. They're almost twice that now.
Yeah, I bet. So when did you start working on cars? Like when you were 14?
Yeah.
And was that something that...
That was Dad's car at the time.
And your dad liked doing stuff like that?
No, Dad was strictly a farmer.
Really?
I thought he was a very naive farmer. He was a lot smarter than I thought he was.
Yeah. So it was just something that you were always attracted to?
Yeah. It interested me.
Yeah. And then, so as like you got back from the service... When did you, own your first car that was car show worthy?
Probably my first one I got. First one when I got back, bought a 70 Roadrunner. And most everything was to standards as far as being able to show after I got back.
So you owned 21 cars prior to service.
Correct.
How many since then?
Well, since then, I haven't had enough sense to really get rid of any.
I was going to say, yeah. All the ones that
I've sold a few of them throughout the time. Had one picked off one time. But other than that.
Yeah.
Now, that one that a couple of years ago down in Columbus, is that right?
2019.
Oh, is it that long ago?
3 years.
Yeah. So, how long had you owned that car?
When it got stolen, I owned it for 45 years.
No kidding.
Did you buy it brand new?
No, I'm second owner. Bought it from Ollie and Sons. It used to be out on 127.
Yep. Yeah, everything I heard that probably got disassembled and sold as parts, and you'll never find the whole thing. That's sad. That one made me mad.
Yeah. I'm guessing it didn't make you as mad as it made the burn. Yeah,
you're right.
Well, because that car had, 300,000 miles or something. Right. I mean, it was a daily driver for a while, right?
Right.
And driving back and forth.
When I bought it, I actually bought it for the wife, so she could drive back and forth.
Big block four-speed for your wife. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, Jane could handle that. That's not a problem.
Yeah, she puts up with him, so.
Yeah, that's true. So, are you still actively looking for your next car?
It's built.
It's built?
It's not painted yet. I haven't got a drivetray in, but it's built. Whenever my painter gets around to it, we get it painted. I'm in search of a drivetrain right now.
That's fantastic.
So, what do you need? We'll just spread the word. Call Laverne.
Well, I got to watch what I say on here tonight.
Oh, okay.
There's things in progress.
then we won't press that.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what. Let's take one more break and come back and talk again about the upcoming car show and cruise in. I'm sorry. And we'll talk a little bit more about that and wrap things up.
Maybe even get to Rocker.
There you go.
Maybe.
That'll work.
Back in a minute.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
If you are like me, then finding a job that fits your timeline is vital for you to be able to work at all. Cooper Farms lets me set my own schedule so that I can work when I have the time to. No one should have to choose between their family and their career. Thanks to Cooper Farms, you don't have to. With locations Van Wert, Paulding, Mercer County, and beyond, Cooper Farms has the flexibility and competitive pay I needed to work without sacrificing time with my family. Visit CooperFarmsJobs.com to find your new job today. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Are you in the process of buying, starting, or selling a business, or maybe just trying to get more bang for your buck out of your current operation? Well, those are things I'm here to help with. I have 26 years of experience as a banker, CFO, and business owner. I've helped clients in all industries in areas such as financing, budgeting, staffing, and other areas like succession planning and project management. One of the biggest challenges I had as an entrepreneur was finding someone experienced to confide, share ideas, ask questions, and ultimately put the best plan together in a truly confidential way. These are things I valued and now want to pay forward for your operation. Come see me today for a financial plan and wellness review. It's nice to have someone on your side because as a business owner, I know it's never easy out there, and especially now. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, today at 419-852-4049 and have yourself a great day.
Village of Fort Recovery is having its annual spring cleanup day for our village residents on Saturday, May 14th. They start picking up the items very early that day, so please have your items at the curb by 5 a.m. You'll need to have your small items bundled or boxed, and you can't have items longer than 6 feet long. They cannot pick up tree limbs or yard waste, wet paint cans, tires, railroad ties, bricks, rocks, or concrete items of any kind. Appliances and other metal items will be picked up, and there's a limit of 2 large furniture items per household. Get your pickup items ready. Spring cleanup day for village residents will be on Saturday, May 14th, and you'll need to have your items at the curb by 5 a.m.
We're back. Insight. Talking about car stuff, and I always learn so much and feel so stupid at this show because these guys...
It's only this show that makes you feel stupid?
Well, the rest of the stuff, I can BS my way through it.
Yeah.
With this... It's like these guys are speaking Chinese to me, you know.
But it's just beautiful Chinese.
It's so impressive to
beautiful
me.
Beautiful and shiny Chinese.
Well, you know, when like you've got immense knowledge about something, and it's something you're passionate about, and then it's something that you can actually do every week. Man, that is, you know, I mean, that's a home run right there. You know, just the fact that, you know, you get to spend time doing what you love. That is pretty cool. And then to be able to do it with a group of people, friends that you're so close to, you know. So, we'll call it the 80th annual.
Okay. Oh, we do 2 years, so that'd be pretty close.
So
that probably is pretty close.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Not too far off.
Share a little bit of the details about what's going on.
Yeah, so Friday night we've got to cruise in downtown. We like to say we're cruising on the bricks here in beautiful Fort Recovery. We do $10 entry fee. It's free for anybody who wants to come walk around. So, you know, anybody in the area can come out and check it out. Bars usually run pretty good specials. Food in town's good. The museum will be open from 6 to 9 or 6 to 8 maybe, or be open for most of the evening. So if you haven't seen that, come check that out.
Rock and roll.
We'll
good old fashioned rock and roll all night.
We'll have all kinds of music throughout the evening. So, and then, you can bring your moms out for Mother's Day, and we give away a hanging basket, so it was one of the door prizes. So
that's awesome.
Great. For Mother's Day, and we'll have 50-50. If you're a gambling man, you can, or woman, we'll take your money there too.
Or just want to donate. What does the money that you guys raise, although it's not tens of thousands of dollars, but what do you do with the money? Does it go to fix up your car?
Yeah. It goes to me. You just make those checks out to John. You know. No, that's not at all how it works. So the money that we raise, we try to do scholarships for kids going into automotive. We actually didn't have any applications this year, but any of the extra money that doesn't go into a scholarship, we donate to all of our local organizations. So, you know, the fire department, police department, we do it to the museum for opening up for us.
Now, is it too late for somebody to apply if they're just hearing it now? It's too late for this year, but
probably, yes,
but everybody remember that.
Remind us in October.
If you're thinking in the automotive area, make sure you apply for that scholarship.
We love to give that money out to those kids to keep the hobby going, and then hopefully have some mechanics that can help us out when we run into the problems we don't understand.
You know, and as technology changes, to have some kids that are fresh out of school probably gives you a bit of insight that you maybe haven't run into before.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and you joke, it's not tens of thousands, but I think over the years, I haven't updated the running total in a while, but we're close to $75,000 I think we've donated.
No kidding.
So for a group of guys that get together once a month and drink beer and talk about cars for a couple hours, we're not doing too bad.
That is very good.
So
that's really cool. And then, so is there like a people's choice award that, like, as people come and see, like, they pick their favorite or anything?
Not really. So a lot of times we give the sponsors, so the businesses, the opportunity. If they want to come up, they can pick out the car that they like. Not everyone can make it, so then some of the club members will kind of go around and we'll pick out the ones that catch our eye. Steve Stone comes up, and he does kind of his choice in honor of his dad.
Yeah.
His dad was one of the founders of it.
Yeah,
and one of the original kind of customizations was that T-bucket kind of thing.
You talk about a collection of vehicles. He's definitely got a few, too, in there.
They're nice beautiful.
Yep.
They are beautiful. Oh, man, I love those 58, 59, 60 Chevys, man.
We're close to about 40 awards, I think, on average. That's awesome. Between.
Yeah.
When you're talking 150, 200 cars, odds are in your favor.
Yeah. If the weather forecast is good or bad, does that greatly change the number of drive ups that you get?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm sure it'll take some of the numbers away. But we're here regardless, rain or shine. We'll be out there, and I'll bring my truck out so you can look at a big old Suburban. And I know Laverne, I don't know what he'll drive, but.
His pickup truck he's pointing truck. At.
Yep. So, we'll be here either way.
Yep.
It's just one of those. You kind of got to roll with it.
Earlier. And the cars are beautiful. Yeah. And even the ones that are ugly are beautiful. I mean, like the old rat rods and the ones that are half done. They're beautiful. It's just awesome to see.
And it doesn't rain inside a bar either. So
that's right. You
can convince your wife to get up here. You can go drink a few beers.
But, And I'll tell you what, there's something about, and I've had the occasion to be in different towns that I've never been in before, and they're having a car show, and it changes the whole environment of the town. I mean, there's a welcoming piece of it. You end up meeting people from the town that you never thought you'd meet, and it's a really cool thing to do for the community. Like you said, you raised $75,000 in the process.
Yep.
So guys, I tell you what, I always enjoy this opportunity. I wish you nothing but sunshine and 75 on Friday.
Pray hard.
And and we'll just have to see what Mother Nature throws at us.
We'll take it either way.
Yeah. So,
thanks for having us on here. We love coming on.
Absolutely. So, you want to take a little quick break and come back with Rocker?
That's the plan.
All righty. We'll be back. We can do a couple of public service announcements, and we'll give you the primary election results and a couple of things, and we'll be back right after this with Rocker and his This Day in Pop Culture History. All right. Be back in a minute.
Here are the results of Tuesday's primary election here in Mercer County. Locally, Democrat Don Holtvoit ran unopposed for the Mercer County Commissioner seat, and he will face Republican Dave Buescher, who defeated incumbent Greg Homan 63% to 37%. In the race for judge of the Common Pleas Court, Republican Matt Fox defeated Donna Post and will run unopposed in the general election in November. Two county levies were not approved. The Mercer County Health District levy for current expenses was defeated by a margin of 55% to 45%, and the proposed 0.5% sales tax for the Mercer County Jail lost by just 41 votes out of over 9,000 cast. In the Democrat race for the nomination for governor, Nan Whaley received 650 votes, and John Cranley received 210 votes, and Whaley also won the statewide race. For the Republicans, Governor Mike DeWine got 34% of the vote in Mercer County to 31% for Jim Renisi and 30% for Joe Blystone. Statewide, DeWine won the Republican nomination with 48% of the vote. For Ohio Secretary of State, Republican Frank LaRose received 57% of the votes in Mercer County and 65% statewide and will face Democrat Chelsea Clark, who ran unopposed. In the race for U.S. Senator, Democrat Tim Ryan got 75% of the vote in Mercer County and will face J.D. Vance, who won statewide with 32% of the vote over Josh Mandel and Matt Dolan, who each received 23%. But in Mercer County, Josh Mandel had 34% of the vote to Vance's 31%. In the 5th Congressional District, Democrat Craig Schwartz received 75% of the vote in Mercer County and won overall and will face Bob Latta, who ran unopposed. Those are the local and statewide results from Tuesday's primary election. Here are the baseball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Indians baseball team will travel to New Bremen to take on the Cardinals in an MAC matchup. On Saturday, they'll host the Rushi Raiders in a recently scheduled single game starting at noon. Get out to all the games you can this season, but if you just can't get there in person, just remember that we'll bring you all the games live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Like when?
Like right now, Jack.
We are? Okay. Oh, we're back.
Yes, you
are. I thought you said something about going over election results and
well,
stuff.
Well, it did.
It did?
Yes, we did that. Well. We did that, and we also did, let's see, what else did we do? Something.
So who's president?
Same guy that was president before. Number one, this is primary election.
Oh.
And number two, we're not doing the president. That's two more years.
Now, you'd think primary means like Maine.
No, primary means first.
Why Maine?
Huh?
Why Maine?
Well, your primary problem, Rocker, is that you don't listen.
Which primary means first.
That's the main one.
First. That means first.
That should be New Hampshire.
What's that?
New Hampshire does the first one.
The first in the presidential.
I know
things.
What he means.
Yes.
So, welcome, Rocker.
Jack, I'm not here. I'm here for more than music.
Really?
Music, and this dog and pony show.
I like your sweatshirt.
Top notch, ain't it?
Where'd you get it?
That's a great question.
The friendly folks that I'm wearing.
Very good. All right. So what are you talking about tonight? So where's the sports talk guys?
They're on deck.
I mean, are they here?
They're in the green room.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Okay. So I don't know.
I
can't
see
them from here.
So now we're extending this because they're not here.
They're here. They're in the green room. I just said they're in the green room.
Don't talk to me with that tone.
But don't berate him for not for telling you that they're in the green room and not believing him.
All right.
You were being mean, Jack.
My part's gonna be quick.
That's my job to be mean to Rocker.
There you go.
My part's pretty quick if we can if we want to move this along.
What you got for me tonight?
On this day in pop culture history, and of course we're doing Tuesdays and today's. It's pretty light this week. May 3rd, 1938, the inventor of the Vegematic, Ron Popeil, was born.
All right.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Also the pocket fisherman.
Yes, pocket fisherman.
What's the guy's name?
Ron Popeil, who just passed away last year.
Popeil's.
Did you know that he painted his hair?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yep.
To cover up a bald spot.
Yeah, and he sold that product.
Yes.
I don't remember what it was called.
Called hair paint.
No, it wasn't that. That wasn't the name. That wasn't is what it was.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't the name.
Let's try May 4th. Of course, today is May 4th. It's May 4th be with you.
Yes.
Yep, Star Wars Day.
1979, it became an unofficial holiday. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, it's just fun to say.
Keeps them happy.
Yeah.
Celebrity birthday.
So, like, are you a Star Wars fan?
Not as deep as some others, but yes.
But yes.
So now, they used to call March 4th Army Day. March 4th.
March 4th.
Army folks.
June 14th, Flag Day.
Yeah, but that doesn't have a thing to it.
Yeah, well.
May the 4th be with you.
It really should.
March 4th, soldiers.
They should do something for July 4th.
Or July 14th.
That's Bastille Day in France.
And my birthday.
I don't care about that. Which
I do.
France is a lot more important than Rocker.
Really?
Not really. Not here. We need to do breakfast with Bill again so we can get you 15 shots on your for breakfast.
Because that
your
worked
birthday.
Out well for everybody.
That did work out.
Slept birthday time.
Slept all day.
May 3rd. Frankie Valli turns 88.
88?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Is
he still singing that falsetto voice?
I'm guessing so.
He's 88.
Wow. That's at least 10 years older than I thought he would be.
Christopher.
But if you think about it, that hits in the early 60s.
Well, yeah.
Yes. And in the early 60s, I was 15, and he was 13 years older than me. So he's 30 years old when he's.
Amazing the man's still with us.
Yes.
Christopher Cross turns 71.
Sailing.
Very good. Yeah.
Thank you.
We both got that one.
Arthur's Theme.
Don't know that one.
Steam.
Who? Arthur's Theme.
Arthur's Theme.
Yes.
Oh. And Eric Church turns 45.
Randy Travis. 63.
Don't jump to bed.
Oh, sorry.
Whew. Let's build back again. May 4th, P.S. Adore turns 69. Remember her?
Yes.
Lovely gal.
Heard the name.
She really, really short.
All 4 foot eight of her, I guess.
I was thinking she was short.
Her and old Charo, your favorite.
She was as like...
Well blessed, yes.
Yes.
Coochie Coochie was Charo.
Yes.
And her favorite state was Massachusetts.
Okay.
Johnny Carson used to always ask some question, so she would say Massachusetts.
And as Jack mentioned, Randy Travis turned 63.
Okay.
I was thinking amen.
He sure looked a lot older than 63.
I don't know what he looks like.
Will Arnett is 52.
Heard of him.
So he's a sheriff.
That's
Matt Dillon.
That is James Arness. No relation.
Oh. And James is not with us anymore.
Yeah. So who was James Arness's brother?
Peter Graves.
Yep.
Who?
Peter Graves.
Oh, from Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible.
Very good.
Yep.
I'm on it today.
I can't remember who their mom was, though.
And Eric,
ask me a question. Go ahead.
Who was their mom? I can't remember who their mom was. She was famous, like Hedy Lamarr or something like
Mrs. Graves.
Mrs. Arness, maybe.
No.
Yeah. She wasn't either one. But I can't remember what her name was, but she was famous in her own.
Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Was it Zsa Zsa?
I doubt it.
It wasn't Eva Gabor. No, it wasn't her either.
Aaron Andrews turns 44 today.
What was the name on Green Acres? Okay. What was the name of the farmhand?
Oh, the farmhand. I was thinking Mr. Ziffel.
Mr. Ziffel was fabulous.
Mr. Haney?
Well, Mr. Haney is who
Mr.
I was
Haney
thinking.
Wasn't a farmhand.
No, he was the guy.
He was like...
Ziffel was the hog.
Yeah.
Arnold Ziffel. Mr. Haney. I used to know his name. I don't remember his name.
And Lance Bass is 43.
Eb. Yep.
Rocker.
Oh, sorry, Rocker.
The
we
name
interrupted
was
you.
Eb.
Okay, so...
Quite the gimmick we got running.
Oh, wait, you ain't done yet.
Oh, no, I'm done.
He was trying to be done, but we wouldn't let him. Go ahead.
You have something to finish.
Yeah,
yes,
finish.
I just did.
Well, we were talking over you.
What's the last one?
Lance Bass turns 43. Like
who?
Lance
Bass.
Lance Bass.
Yeah. He is a Backstreet Boy.
Somebody just said
feet. Close.
No.
Uh-oh.
On May 3rd, 1975, the Reds moved Pete Rose to third base from left field.
Yep.
There you go.
I saw that on Facebook.
When things changed.
Mm. I saw that on Facebook.
So George Foster could play left field.
Yeah.
And now they like to move him into a casino.
50 home run.
Yep.
Bobby.
Hello, Jack. Hello, Rocker.
What you got going on sports talk tonight?
Nothing really. We're going to talk Indian baseball, Indian track, Cincinnati Reds.
No.
Well, that'll take over 13 seconds, probably.
Yeah, we're going to have a quick one tonight. And then
Puerto Rican bobsledding?
Puerto Rican bobsledding.
That'll take longer than the Reds.
Reds are ahead 2-0 tonight.
Wow.
Here we go.
Have you looked at your phone in the last 10 seconds?
No, I have not.
Don't.
Yeah. So
Rocker, do you have anything else to share?
Do you need anything else?
What do you got?
You got Green Acres? Any more Green Acres trivia you got for me? Or?
Yeah.
What was the name of the general store?
Oh. Haney's General Store? I don't know. Wasn't Haney the...
Who ran the general store?
Oh, yeah. I remember that guy now.
Yep.
Yep. Bald-headed guy.
Yep.
Oh, I can see him.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. I don't know. I haven't seen the show.
Sam Drucker.
Yep, that's right. Yep.
I'll tell you, Rocker, am I on it?
You are on
it. You haven't had one answer to any of the questions that I've asked tonight.
Okay, one thing. Mm-hmm. That was probably one outside of Gilligan's Island, the worst shows of the 60s.
What?
Oh, I loved that show.
Oh.
And Gilligan's Island, I liked also, so shut up.
Even, yeah. So, for insight, right on time.
Sort of.
Yep.
Yep.
Stay tuned for Sports Talk. Bubba and Fiend.
Bubba, I had nothing to do with this one.
They'll be right with you.
I see we got a new four-way stop.
I see that. Down. That, there's going to be an accident there.
No doubt.
Why? That, with that big thing in the middle, nobody's going to mess that up.
No doubt.
You can't go more than 10 miles an hour with that true. There, which is great. I was wondering how they were going to make that work, but
great show tonight, Neil.
Thanks. I did it all myself.
We were on it.
Yes.
See you next week.
We asked all the right questions, and they gave us all the great answers.
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Back.
I'm out of here. Stay tuned for Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.